Around. Hi, I'm Randy. Welcome to all the fun festivities and frivolity that this podcast has to offer. I'd like to welcome you, and especially you.
Thanks, Cortana, for that rousing introduction. You didn't have to really say my name twice, but I think maybe it's time to put down the tequila bottle.
Oh, behave,
Cortana. If you put down the tequila bottle, I may let you do some stories for the podcast.
You will get 100 of more downloads if I do all the stories, you schmuck.
You see how Cortana treats me? Unbelievable. Maybe I should call in Consuela to do these stories.
Don't do that. Consuela is a biatch.
Well, at least I've improved my harmonica playing a little bit. Right now on Facebook, I got a picture of Mr. Willis Carrier. And I must say, God bless you, man. He was the inventor of the air conditioner. And every time you turn on your air conditioner, Central Air, you should bless this man's work. So we here can live in comfort. And there's so many countries that the people want to come into this country illegally, and they leave their kids at the border when they're found out that they're in this country illegally. What about the people that went to fight in the Gulf Wars? And when they got killed, what people did they leave behind? And when people go to jail here, what for doing something that is illegal, who did they leave behind to pick up the pieces? I don't know. I know some people that have to do these poverty tours, and I've never been outside the United States, and I'm okay with that. And we live in the greatest nation on God's green earth, I must say. I don't know if this is a fluke or not, but I'd like to give a shout out to Seattle, all my listeners there. It's kind of funny that I got email from the Seattle Times asking me to, well, they want me to subscribe, but they're willing to offer some free things about Seattle, a city that I would like to visit sometime. So I'd just like to give a shout out to them. Maybe you got that. Maybe it's a mass mailing or whatever. But I do get some downloads from the Washington area and around Seattle. Just want to shout out to them. If I do come out there, maybe I could try and track some of you people down and have a brew somewhere. That'd be cool. It would be nice to meet some of my infotainment fans one day.
Okay, Randy, I think it's time to move on to another topic.
Well, Cortana, you're the boss of drinking tequila, I think. That it is. It's time to move on to another topic. And I know that the country is kind of still, well, it's been pretty soon after Anthony Bourdain, world traveler, foodie, chef, author, one person's dream job. I think a lot of people would have liked to have his job, but you just kind of wonder why. Maybe his demons from the past caught up with him. I don't know. I've never heard left a suicide note or not. But before that, we also had another famous person. I think he died of natural causes. Mr. Art Bell, a famous overnight radio host of Coast to Coast AM, where he talked about a lot of different things. Bigfoot, UFOs. He even had paranormal investigators come on with their electronic voice phenomenons that they've recorded through their digital recorders. And now I'm going to have a little tribute to him. May he rest in peace, where I'm going to do a little spirit hunting myself with a phone app that I have. I don't have the sophisticated equipment that the Ghost Adventures crew has, but I'm just going to test it out and see if we can. It's kind of a combination of a spirit box and a ovulus, where they can spell out words. They can use the phone's energy to do that. So let's get started with that.
You know, if you do that, Randy, you are going to release the zombie apocalypse.
Shut up, Cortana. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. Just keep drinking your tequila. Okay, kids, I'm turning on my ghost hunting application on my Android phone in honor of Art Bell's passing, and just to see if we have any spirits that are willing to talk. Turn it up a little bit here. When the clicking gets faster, there is something located around. Sometimes the Ghost Adventures crew provokes the spirits. How many spirits are here tonight? Do you have anything you'd like to say to my podcast audience? What is your name? One spirit said, "So afraid." No, I'm not afraid of you. Are you afraid? You can use this phone's energy to speak into this device. What is your name? Oh, now we got nothing. Let's move it around the room a little bit and see if we pick up anything else. What is your name? Well, let's start. Uh-oh. Large detection there. What is your name? You can use this device, speak into it. Pick out some words. Oh, it said, "So sorry." I don't know what that reference is about, but it said, "So afraid and so sorry." Why are you here? What is your name? Why are you here? When the clicking gets faster, you know there's something going on. The spirit box section of it does not say words, it just kind of growls. Just like that. And now it says compete. Well, I think you've heard enough static and we've gotten a few words from the spirits. If you believe it or not, it's just an app on a cell phone. Believe it or not. There we go. We got that turned off. Well, the next item up for bids on the podcast is right. Kind of dovetails from my previous bit of ghost hunting. And we do have a total skeptic's guide to the world's largest UFO convention. And ignore until you can't ignore anymore. It's not often you find yourself in the presence of a spirit traveler, an energy surgeon, someone who claims to defy time and space daily, and is able to repair hearts, spleens, livers, gallbladders, cancers, and bones, simply through the healing power of touch. But this is Sanja's grace truth as she experiences it. And if it sounds at all odd or extra or far-fetched, George Nori, host of the Venerable Talk Radio Juggernaut Coast to Coast AM, formerly hosted by Art Bell, which focuses on the paranormal, is doing an impeccable job of not letting on. The pair are on stage together in Indian Wells, California, at the annual Contact in the Desert Conference, a series of talks and panels dedicated to all things extraterrestrial. This particular panel, moderated by Nori, is titled Ancient Aliens, The Best Evidence and Nothing. Grace tells the host seems to surprise him when she explains that her guides, high angelic beings, take her to the ancient sites like Stonehenge to show her how and why it was built. He is unfazed. When she tells him her mind must dissolve completely, like little particles floating off, before she's able to meet with the demigods to make these sojourns, he is nonplussed. It could be simply, as the Atlantic observed in 2010 of Nori's occasional lapse in the broadcast booth, sometimes he does not pay full attention to his guests, or is falling back into his habit of letting clearly delusional or pseudo-scientific assertions slide by without challenge, or more plausibly the latter. Just happens to be part of the job description when you make your living engaging with the community of UFO enthusiasts and conspiracy theorists. You give them space to explore ideas no matter how divergent, especially if they are divergent. This is also true when, like me, you're a skeptic who find yourself walking among them, if only for a weekend. This is a lesson I learned rather quickly at the Renaissance Resort and Spa, a sprawling patch of lush golf courses and fancy pools playing host to the conference. My critical eye here is best left shut, a rule born of necessity. To not restrict judgment at this place is to risk drowning in it. This year's Contact, which bills itself as the largest UFO conference in the world, but it's the first since two bombshell articles on the government's interest in aliens appeared in the New York Times last December. In them, a previously secret government initiative called the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, essentially UFO Watch, came to light. The Defense Department, it was revealed, had spent $22 million over 5 years to maintain the program. That money is paltry in the face of its overall $600 billion annual budget, but it is worth a tacit and unprecedented admission from the government that it, in fact, has looked into the possibility that the truth is out there and, in fact, have actively searched for it. What's more, they've found it, including in one of the Times articles was a minute-long video taken from the camera on an A-18 Super Hornet. In it, a pilot tracks a mysterious orb, which performs maneuvers that make a crew heard over the radio gasp. "My gosh," one said, bewildered. "Look at that thing, dude. Look at that thing. It's rotating." Speculation it's a drone is quickly dismissed. No one present can quite place the flying objects, which remain unidentified. The other article, published the same day, features an interview with a Navy pilot commander, David Fravor, who tells the Times about a 2004 encounter over the Pacific during a routine training mission that left him weirded out. On the mission, he saw a 40-foot-long oval hovering above the ocean, that when he flew closer and down, it quickly darted off. It had no plumes, wings, or rotors, and outran our F-18s. He told a fellow pilot that night when asked to describe what he'd seen. Maybe, Church says, news outlets will no longer cue the X-Files music every time they do a story on us. These world-bending times stories put the community long mocked and marginalized on an entire new ground. And that ground was in field of play, finally off the sidelines. That day I was in my car listening to the radio, and they make this announcement about the New York Times and UFOs and the Department of Defense. Fade to black, and Coast to Coast AM weekend radio host Jimmy Church tells me I nearly crashed. Maybe, just maybe, Church says news outlets will no longer cue the X-Files music when they do a story. Yeah, I just said that. At the Renaissance, as one might suspect, the sentiment is everywhere. There's a smell of indication of "we told you so" in the air. Even before the Times Stories polls showed, a majority of Americans believe in some form of alien life. Given the vastness of our universe, it's an easy enough conclusion to make. After all, a late 2013 study in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Science found 1 in 5 stars have an Earth-like planet orbiting around it, meaning that there are roughly 40 billion potential habitable planets like our own in the Milky Way, more Earth-like planets than all the grains of sand and all our beaches, as CNET put it. And just over a week ago, the NASA rover Curiosity found organic matter on Mars, the best evidence yet that the red planet held life at one time. What if, as many Contact attendees believe, all that's just the beginning? Contact co-founder Victoria Devoyan sits in a chair and balances her cell phone atop her crossed leg. On top of it, 8 multicolored vitamins roll about, but never off. Sometimes quite impressively, she answers the phone quickly, pocketing her palming the pills in a motion so deft it wouldn't be surprising if she had a side gig practicing close magic. Once I notice the pills are disappearing and reappearing, it becomes hard to pay attention to much else. When she speaks and her words become the new focus. "I've been going out of body since I was 9 years old," she says, as a part of a free-flowing, long-form answer to a question about how she turned contact from an idea into reality. In a rapid stream of consciousness, she pings freely from ancient aliens to our so-called reality, from the difference between an aware mind and a conscious mind to her multiple encounters with the extraterrestrial. She says things like, "This is an illusion, quantum physics, we know this," while motioning toward her general surroundings. "And one time I woke up on the table with a needle that was going through here," while pointing to her temple. She has devoted much of her life to the study of and in service to the paranormal and esoteric. "Somewhere along the way, I get an answer to my original question." Gavoyan, along with co-founder Paul Andrews, started the conference in 2012 at the Joshua Tree Retreat Center, a property Gavoyan managed for 11 years. When Andrews suggested the two book a conference together, one that catered to the myriad interests, she decided to give it a go. They agreed it would incorporate not just the fetishization of little green men and spaceships like so many others, but also the spiritual, the mental, Forbidden Archaeology, Abductions, and Disclosures. For the first 5 years of the conference was held at the Joshua Tree Retreat Center before outgrowing the facility and moving 50 miles southwest to the Renaissance in 2018. Now 6 years on, the event attracts an eclectic mix of people willing to spend $300 for a weekend pass or $505 for couples. Ticket buyers can also opt to attend smaller workshops and intensives with their favorite speakers from $24.99 to $49.99. The boy won't tell me how many have come to Contact 2018, fearing an accurate head count would, as she puts it, collapse the wave function and limit the possibilities for the conference's continued growth. You've got to utter and think, because your thoughts are going into an infinite possibilities, and the only thing that's collapsing is that resonates with yours. In other words, it's frequency specific to your thought, is how she explains it. So we just say thousands. Given the sizes of the various ballrooms and crowds at speeches, I'd feel comfortable putting that vague thousands between two or three. A longtime friend of Gavoyan and Contact, Barbara Harris, sat alongside her at Joshua Tree when planning for the first conference was coming together, and remembers well its modest beginnings. In those days, Harris acted as kind of an unofficial consultant, talking with Gavoyan about speakers that may make up the trek out to the desert. She was there when Gavoyan got the website up and running and wondered if anyone else would notice. She remembers too how giddy Gavoyan was when she did. There was a moment when she checked the numbers, and at one point she looked and she'd sold 300 tickets, recalls Harris excitedly. We just couldn't believe it. We were so happy. 300 people coming to the desert, wearing tinfoil hats probably, to camp out and hear these talks. One of these talks was given by Harris herself. In Contact, the first 5 years, she gave a lecture about some of the most sacred spots in and around Joshua Tree and the high desert, a place where she called home for several decades. I know Art Bell talks about being from the high desert. He lived in Pahrump, Nevada, as far as I know, and as former president of the Morongo Basin Historical Society, knows well. She would give Contact attendees tours of the area too, sometimes leading groups of up to 60 in a caravan into the desert and the best places for sightings in the pitch black night. Have you ever spent time looking for UFOs? I can't say. Well, I have seen one weird thing. A friend of mine installed a camera over his garage because he thought somebody was vandalizing his vehicles. And at one point on a videotape, he taped them, there was a small ball of light, a little bit bigger than a golf ball, not quite the size of a tennis ball, but it was floating along an irregular path. It didn't seem to have any path, and it did come up to the camera and kind of shone brightly, but then took off, and it didn't have any rhyme or reason to the path it was flying in. So that's the weirdest thing I've seen. Contact's steady growth and ultimate move to the ritzy desert resort surprises Harris, but she also had a hunch it was inevitable. Boy, and she says, is one of the smartest people on the planet. Contact would be better than other UFO conferences. Difference. There was more to it, she says. Gavoyan and Andrews see everything at Contact to be interconnected. Imagine a spider's web, says Andrews. The spiritual, the mental, the extraterrestrial, all of them are strands leading to the same center. At the sacred center, Andrews says, is credibility in everyone associated with Contact, from the vendors in the corridors to the speakers on the stage, must have it. And then it goes on and on. And I think we'll end it there. But that's an interesting article about largest UFO conference, Contact. But Art Bell would be proud of me, I hope. Doing my little ghost hunt there and other things. I've never been out searching for Bigfoot, though. For those of you who used to watch, it's been off the air quite a few years, but it was called Survivor Man with Les Stroud. I know he had some shows where he was spending quite a few shows looking for Bigfoot, but I don't think he found anything. I don't think any of those shows seeking Bigfoot have found anything credible. Oh, they might see a dark blip on a screen from a real faraway distance. I don't think, you know, if that was true, I think we would find some bones somewhere or some burial grounds where they buried their dead if they're that smart. If there was money to be made, well, there is money to be made if somebody finds one alive. Don't bet on it.
By the looks of the clock on the wall, it is time to call Black Alert and Spore Drive this episode to the interwebs. You can tweet my Twitters at Randy Podcaster. You can also read my blog RandyMS12. blogspot.com. I wish everyone a happy ending tonight and a pleasant tomorrow. Bye.